American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half of the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii, but we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part of roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.AmericanLogHomesAndCabins.com.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm going to interview someone, and it's Fiachna O'Brien. And Fiachna, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Luke. It's a big thrill for me too. Honestly. The feeling is mutual.
Well, Fiachna, I think I told you, I was in London when Don't Go was a massive hit. I was studying in London and we were all thrilled, an Irish band.
Yes.
It got to number two, did it, in the UK charts, am I right?
Well, the album People got to number two in the album charts, which was extraordinary.
Yeah.
And Don't Go got to number 11,
oh,
just
very good.
Outside the top 10. But number 11.
Doesn't matter. It all counts. It's a great achievement at the time and we all loved it. And that was your Eurovision, the big. Were you like the Riverdance equivalent at the time?
We were, I guess so. Yeah, it was. We were the interval act, you know.
Right.
That sort of hallowed slot that the Eurovision had for many years, you know. And yes, and our, you know, our gratitude, eternal gratitude to Barry Devlin of Horselips, whose idea
was his role?
Was.
Yeah, how did he
his
get
role was just he just had his idea was, what do we need for the interval act? And I think he was talking to Liam Miller, who was the head of RTE at the time, and he suggested this song, Don't Go, which he felt was a contemporary pop song, but also had a kind of an Irish flavour, and felt that it would be a great song just for that slot. So we had to go in, and actually the interval, as you know, is probably about 8 minutes long, so yeah. We had to go in and record an extended version of it, which was great fun.
Right.
You know, adding some European instrumentation, such as the Breton bombard and the Spanish guitar and so on. But yes, hats off to Barry.
Hats off to Barry is right. And famously, the Hot House, in case anybody doesn't know who you are, for the Hot House Flowers was the band, of course.
Yes.
And now you're on Late Date, of course, at Radio 1. But let me ask you at the very start, how did you get into music in the first place, if you look back?
But there was, you know, there was always music at home. Childhood memories of coming down on weekend mornings and finding, you know, my parents' vinyl collection scattered around the floor after they'd had, you know, my father had a particularly big family and his brothers or his sisters would come over and play games of cards and then they'd listen to music. And it was, you know, you'd find in that vinyl collection on a Saturday morning, you'd find Alan Stivell, Breton singer. You'd find Brahms. You'd find Mozart. You'd find Aurea the Sagetti. You'd find Horselips, Happy to Meet, Sorry to Part. So there was always music in the house. There was a piano in the house. My dad's family, you know, he came from a family who they were all musical. They all just grew up playing piano in their sitting rooms, you know, for their own entertainment. And so it was, yeah, I mean, by the time I was seven, I started off actually on the piano, and that didn't sit very well with me. But by the time I moved on to the tin whistle and then later on the guitar, both of those instruments are still with me now.
You know? Oh, and in those days, Fiachna, were there party pieces? My memory of my childhood is this family parties and the people singing, and everybody had a party piece, and they would sing it with such gusto. Like my father used to sing my brother Sylvester, a very old song. Did your parents have party pieces?
My father certainly did. He used to sing the Bell Tenant Farmer a lot. Right. And there was another song called Polshy Hogan, which he sang. And then my mum played Chopin beautifully on the piano, which is my first memory of her music. But she then took up flamenco guitar.
Good Lord.
Which brought the guitar into the house. And she studied with a man called Ernie Early, who was, you know, a true dyed-in-the-wool dope from the Liberties, but who did gigs as the great Ernesto was his name.
Right, yes. But that must have been very exotic. Your mother playing flamenco guitar.
Yes.
That must have been most unusual, because we don't think of women playing flamenco guitar, do we?
No. One of the first pieces that she taught me was a sort of a Spanish piece called Romance Anónimo. And, you know, beautiful piece, quite simple. And then, of course, you know, I bought chord books and found out that all you needed was two or three or at most four chords.
That was sufficient, yeah. But am I right? I've never seen a woman play flamenco guitar. It's a very male thing, is it? Or am I wrong? What about in Spain?
I don't know. We could talk about patriarchy, couldn't we?
We could indeed, yes. Yeah. Maybe we should start a campaign to get more women playing flamenco guitar. Wouldn't that be great?
Exactly. Would it be called flamenca, perhaps?
Oh, absolutely. That's right. Now, we've got to move on to the flowers, haven't we, Fiona? Tell us how that got. I know you met Liam in school, didn't you? And you both went to Irish school, Scunlough Conn and College, which I believe you really enjoyed your time in those schools and learned a lot of music. And you and Liam must have started playing at that time, did you?
We did. We started playing at the bus stop. We both got the 17 bus from our respective homes up to Monkstown. And the 17 bus was a rarefied vehicle at the time. Yeah. You know, it would come once an hour. So there was lots of time hanging around at the bus stop waiting for the bus to come, during which, of course, we would get the whistles out and play tunes,
right.
Whistles and barons and whatever other instrument we'd have. And that was the most natural thing in the world, joyous.
Yeah.
Tune making.
So we connected
over that first. And then as we got older, you know, the guitar in my case and the piano in Liam's case came into play. And we start, you know, messing around with blues and jazz chords and found very quickly that we gelled, you know. So we spent, you know, many hours playing music and then decided in our later teens to start a band and to enter a competition called Sloga. So we had this band. Maria Doyle Kennedy was the singer in that very first band that we had. It was a mutual friend at the time. And we won that competition, and that sort of the energy of that performance. It was 8 minutes was what you had in that competition. And we wrote three songs.
Oh, originals. Wow.
The originals.
Yeah.
Asghar Ilke.
Yeah.
The Ard and Ashke was one of them.
Right.
I'm blanking on the title. It's a long time ago.
Right.
But we won that, you know. And then about a year later, another friend of ours came and suggested that we play at the Magic Carpet in Cornell's Court.
So I remember it. Yeah.
Yeah. And we started a Sunday evening residency there. And that grew into what has become Hot House Flowers for almost 40 years.
Did you ever have another job, Fiona?
Or
was this the only job you
had? Well, I was, you know, when I was 18 years old, I went to New York on a J1 and was a golf caddy.
All right.
for about 5 weeks, with which I bought the proceeds of which contributed to my first electric guitar.
Right.
And I was a stand-in French teacher once as well.
Right.
So I spoke fluent French. There was a French private school around the corner from where I lived. They asked me to come in and substitute once in the course. One of the kids, we were the same age. I was only 18, teaching kids my own age. And one of them turned around and said, "Did I see you busking on Grafton Street the other day?" Which, of course, they had.
Recognise you. So, but am I right?
My cover was blown.
You did law and then you dropped out, did you? Is that what happened?
I did. Yeah. I went into UCD. I suppose that was the well-trodden path, you know, after the leaving cert. You got the points, and I had applied for law and got the points to do law. And of course, by the first summer after my first year exams, that summer was the summer that Liam and I spent every day on Grafton Street busking. And things went from strength to strength. We ended up playing lots of gigs in town and various wine bars and nightclubs. And of course, then when university started off again in the autumn of 1985, there was the Trinity Ball, there was the Rag Ball. There were all these gigs that had become far more important than studying law. So I sort of fell away. I just started kind of going up to UCD, pretending I was going every day. And they eventually caught up with me and said, "Mr. O'Brien, what are you doing?" And they very kindly gave me a leave of absence.
Did they? To
kind of go away and give music a go and that I could come back in. So that was very, very good to go back to one's parents with that.
Well, indeed. I mean, your parents must have been driven to distraction by this, weren't they? Because they thought, our son will be a lawyer or whatever. And then you're I'm taking up the guitar and I'm going to be a musician.
They always knew, you know, I think my love of music was pretty evident at that stage.
Right.
I was playing music all the time.
Yeah.
So they were incredibly good about it, actually. I think the fact that I managed to negotiate a leave of absence, kind of a way back in, if
it helped,
didn't work out,
as a safety net.
Within a few months, we were on top of the pops.
I know. Well, I've got to ask you, where did the name come from? I've always wondered, the Hot House Flowers, what the hell? It's just very unusual.
Hot House Flowers, going back to the Magic Carpet, and the very first gig we did, we'd no name for the band, and we decided we'd try and pick a name by putting our you know, you flick a book and you come on the first two words and the page number of the book, and that ended up being something like Goose Stomp 71 or something. And we said, that's no good. Then we did one gig as that, and it didn't sit right with anybody. And then Liam came in, having seen an album title by Wynton Marsalis called Hot House Flowers. It's an old jazz piece, as far as I know, and said, well, let's go with Hot House Flowers for tonight anyway.
Yeah, and it's stuck.
And it stuck. It's stuck. Yeah.
Very good. And I've got to ask you, I mean, obviously, Don't Go with the big hit. I've often wondered as a musician, if you have to play a song at every damn gig, did you get sick of playing Don't Go?
Never.
No, we there's a good one. Never. Yeah.
Never. We don't get sick of playing any of our songs.
Ah, very
because
good.
I guess we've got to the stage where we allow ourselves to kind of, we don't even have a set list when we go on stage anymore. So we kind of follow what the mood dictates or what anybody right. feels like playing. And one of us might start a song and another might, when that song finishes, would kick into another song. Now, obviously, nearly every show we play, we would play Don't Go. We would nearly always play She the Wamoe, which is a traditional Irish song, right. which is on our Into Your Heart album. And this, you know, I Can See Clearly Now, it's played quite a lot. And many other songs. There's so many songs to choose from. And then, yeah, so you never get tired because you play them differently every time.
And I imagine it's about, I remember Mick Jagger was asked this about playing, he's played Satisfaction a gazillion times.
Yes.
He says, it's not about me, it's about the audience, he says, because the audience want to hear it. And they play it, the audience always, it's a wonderful relationship. And I know you're big into that aspect of performing and music and your radio slot and all the rest of it. It's all about the audience and you, isn't it? It's the combination.
Well, there's nothing like the feeling that you get, the response. And that's what it is all about. It's about, you know, I mean, your job as a musician is to get up on a stage and to transform the space that you're in,
yeah.
whether that be a club or an arena or a festival.
What happens there, Vic? What happens? Let's get a bit mystical, if you don't mind. I know I'm a scientist, but even something magic happens, doesn't it, in the performance? I mean, having performed for many years, what do you think is happening there?
It is just something reaches into your soul and makes it provides you with uplift. I'll tell you, we did a gig with Van Morrison last weekend. Right? We were over in Gloucestershire, opening up for Van. And during the afternoon, Van came out and started doing his sound check. And he started playing Days Like This in his sound check. There's no audience there. Myself and Liam and Peter were all out in the field looking at it. And it was just this incredible hearing his voice and that musicianship. It just, I mean, never mind the gig later, which was spectacular.
Yeah.
It just, it's transporting,
exactly.
I think is what it is. And when you've got a gang of people who are together, an audience, who are being transported at the same time. A feeling of unity and a feeling of uplift and a feeling of anything is possible.
It's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
You're familiar with it yourself.
It's a wonderful thing. Occasionally you get that buzz, don't you? Now, I've got to ask you about the radio, because obviously you're on Late Date. How did you get into that?
Well, that started, about 14 years ago, I think, when somebody suggested to me that, why have you ever thought of presenting radio programs? And I think it coincided with the time when touring was not as relentless as it was in our earlier days. I mean, in our early days, we used to be away for most of the year with very little break. And then, you know, as we got a bit older, we needed to stay at home and be with our families and so on. And so, somebody suggested I get into radio. So I actually created a little demo radio program with a few friends and played that to the music editor of RT Radio 1 at the time. And a few days later, I got a phone call saying, the late, great Alf McCarthy is going on 4 days off. He presents a program called Late Days. Do you want to come in and cover for him?
And you jumped at it.
And I jumped at it. It was the most terrifying experience of my life. It's so kind of abstract when you do it first. It's a bit like learning how to drive and speak to your passengers in the car at the same time. Yeah. You know, you're kind of afraid of stalling or, you know.
Yeah, but you did it, obviously. You did it. And it's a fantastic show. And I'm sure people know you're a wonderful voice late in the evening. And it's a wonderful slot to have, I imagine. Fiacna, thanks ever so much.
Lovely to talk to you, Luke.
Good stuff. Thanks. That's Fiacna O'Brien on there. Lovely and great to interview one of my heroes.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
American Log Homes and Cabins is assisting a developer in liquidating several of our kits that have deposits on them for only the balance owed. Most of these will save you more than half the original cost. An example, our Augusta model, normally $42,450, is being sold for $16,500. Our Biloxi model, normally $36,825, is being sold for $14,500. This includes delivery, excluding California, Oregon, Washington, Arizona, Idaho, Alaska, and Hawaii. But we will pay partial shipping to those states. These kits have not been manufactured, and there's no time limit on delivery. This is a log home kit that includes complete blueprints from foundation details to roof, stack sheets, and a construction manual. Any do-it-yourselfer or builder can erect the logs. Kits do not include any part or roof, windows, or doors. Please call 704-602-3035 for availability. You can also visit our website at www.americanloghomesandcabins.com.